Thank you, guys. Praise God. Ooh, talk about, yes?
Now we've got a blue Ford going off.
A blue Ford. Where are they? Up there?
Yeah, out here.
She said it's hers.
No, it's a dark blue Ford out here.
Who's parked out here? Raise your hand. Betty, Bob. Who? Anybody got a blue car? Go. That's okay. Go ahead. Go ahead. Hey, listen, minor details in life. All righty. Hey, we are church family. Pastor Sherry and I love you. And if you're a guest here, we love you. And I would love to say, and I've definitely today, every Sunday's different. Isn't that good? Because I remember a season in my life. I was in college. It was my senior year. I'm doing my student teaching. And I ate a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and an apple every day. I lost some weight, but it wasn't fun. So, hey, let's have church a little different every Sunday. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Hey, I love this season that we're behind the Christmas season. We're in our new season. We're in the vision of 2020. Amen. Vision for 2020. We've got a new decade. We should have vision. And I shared before, if you weren't able to be with us, but I said, vision is not the natural eye. Vision is what you see here. So I've been tossing out a few challenges. Like, number one, go find out what vision is for 2020s. You hang out with God. And if you thought it was this, just take it higher, because it's God that's going to be in that. But today I just want to, this is fun. This is fun. I was not able to hang out with some of my dearest friends at Christmas time, so we actually got together a week or two ago in January, and we were talking about something, and I thought, oh yeah, I bet that happened. Yep, that happened to me, and I bet it happened to you. But how many of you have ever gotten a gift, and you were like, oh, you shouldn't have? And really, you're like, seriously, you shouldn't have. Anybody ever get any of those gifts? Okay, good. Don't look at the person that might have done it. So my friend, it's like, oh yeah, you shouldn't have. You gave me a vacuum cleaner. I didn't ask for it. You gave me a tie. I haven't worn a tie in 30 years. Oh, thank you. You shouldn't have. All right. So when we were hanging out with my friend, he was telling me this story. And I thought, man, this just kind of directs us into where we're going, and it'll also make you laugh. But he was telling the story about his grandmother. Every year, a box would come. The box would come in December. And, and after a couple of years, the box is coming in December. And he's telling the story the first year, he was 9, the next year he's 10, it goes on. And the box, when you'd get it, it wasn't exciting to shake it for a 9-year-old. What's a 9-year-old's box exciting to shake? It rattles, right? And this thing just went swish, swish. Because the box, every year, from his grandmother, was a sweater. I just made that mistake this last year with Cash, my grandson. So part of this, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do this better. But the box was a sweater. And all he wanted was what everybody else had. Like, his friends were getting remote control cars and video games and stuff like that. And he was just wishing a sweater, like, Graham, the least you could have gotten me is a hoodie with my team on it. And no, and he started describing it. So he's a little bit, he's not 9, he's older. And he says, please, I'm not trying to offend anybody. He says, it's like an old man sweater from the 80s with the lines all over it. My Jack used to wear them, but he wasn't 9 years old. So my friend was just telling this story, and I was laughing. I thought, man, how many of you have gotten those boxes, and you're like, oh, you shouldn't have. Now, you might fall into one of three categories if it's you. I'm not telling you which one I am. But you might be the person, the exchange person. You got that undaunting gift, a dud, right? You got that, and you're the exchanger, and this is how your head goes. You know, that person that gave me that just loves me so much, And they want me to be happy. So they're going to be happy that I'm going to be happy because I'm going to go exchange that gift. Anybody ever done that? Don't raise your hand. Okay? How about the person, hold on to it just in case person, because you can't do that exchange thing. Someone's shaking her head. So you're going to stash it in the closet and hold on to it just in case they show up at your house, because God is love, and you know you should love people, so that's why you're going to hang on to it, okay? Or else you're this. I'm going to look at the ceiling so you don't know what I am. You're the regifter. You get the repurpose, but regift is you have to be people of faith and full of wisdom. Because if you re-gift that to, let's say, Liz, but Liz runs in the circle of the person who gave me the gift, shoo, baby. All right. Yeah. So there's three groups. Praise God. But I think this situation happens to all. I'm going to shift spiritual with you now. Okay, that was practical. All righty. But how many of us have things on the inside, and we go, I wish I was somebody else. I wish there was something different on the inside of me. I wish I could be like so-and-so. Or maybe you look in the mirror. Occasionally I do. You look in the mirror and you go, I wish I could be like them. Man, they're just amazing, right? Or I wish I could be more patient like Susie. Do you watch her? She's like so patient with her kids. Or I wish I could be more successful or at work. Or I wish I could be, you know, just more brilliant with the word of God. And the problem when we wish is a big problem, okay? So today we're going to talk about that, but I want to tell you what we're not going to talk about. We're not going to talk about how to change things in your life. And typically it's the New Year's resolutions. Raise your hand if you made a New Year's resolution. Don't raise your hand. Good, you're smart. Okay, let me tell you statistics. Statistics say 60% of us will make a resolution. And a resolution is, I want to change something. But how many of you found out change is hard? Yeah, now listen to the rest of the statistic, okay? Statistics say that only 20% of us, that's that side, will make it for the 30 days, right? Okay? And 8% will actually reach their goal. Why? Because change is hard. Change is hard. Now, I'm going to reel it in, just get real straight with you, and say this. If there are some things in your life that, gaps, how's that a pretty word? There's some gaps in your life that you better change. Like the doctor says, hey, you quit this or you're going to die early. Or, this has happened to me, you get one more speeding ticket and you're losing your license. And in case you don't know, you need that to get to work. Okay, so there are things that you need to attend to so your boat doesn't sink. I had that speeding ticket thing several years ago. So I've been good for 3 years. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. But we're not going to talk about that. Today I want to talk about two guys in the Bible. So open up to 1 Samuel. We're going to do a lot in 1 Samuel. Open up to 1 Samuel. These two guys have some similar things going on in their life, and then they have some big key differences going on in their life. So these two guys, the first guy we're going to talk about is Saul. Anybody hear of Saul? Did you know he was the first king of Israel? Sure, Pastor D, I knew that. Okay, the second guy I want to talk about is David. Did you know he was the second king of Israel? Good. How many of you learned that downstairs in children's ministry? Praise God. Okay. But at the beginning, at the start of these stories, they're similar. Their stories are similar. So we're going to talk about what's similar to them. So let's start with Saul. Saul, the beginning is in 1 Samuel 10, but we're not going to read it yet. Just get your finger there. 1 Samuel, in the beginning of that, his family lost their donkeys. They must have escaped. I don't know what happened. And Samuel is sent along with his servant to go looking for the lost donkeys. Okay? So they're going up and down and around and about, and they're doing this and they're doing it, and they're not very successful. So his servant says, hey, there's this prophet of God in the next town. Why don't we go to him and ask and say, hey, do you know where the donkeys are so we can get out of here? All right. So that's what they do. Now, this is the Cashman short story, and there's a lot I'm leading out. So please read 1 Samuel 9, 10, da, 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 da. So anyway, so they go knocking on Samuel's door, and Samuel says to Saul, God has a message for you. Now, just think about that. All I'm doing is running around chasing donkeys or trying to find donkeys. And God, through the prophet says, God has a message for you. And the message is, he's called you to be the next king. And all you were doing is running around trying to find donkeys. That's quite a day. That's quite a day, I'm telling you. So let's read 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1. And this is what the prophet of God does to Samuel. This is what happens, okay? And he says, Samuel took a flask of olive oil and poured it over Saul's head. He kissed Saul and said, I am doing this because the Lord has appointed you to be the ruler or king over Israel, his special possessions. Okay, so they're running around chasing, trying to find donkeys. And the Lord says, here's the keys to Israel, God's chosen people. Here's the keys. You're going to be the king. So that's our first guy. Our second guy is David. Y'all remember that? So we're going to start with David. Now, he is not running around looking for lost donkeys. He's actually out in the fields taking care of his family's sheep and goats because he's a shepherd. How many people knew that? Good. You guys were in my class. Praise God. All right. Now, Samuel, the very same prophet that anointed Saul to be the first king, has heard from God to go to David's house. He tells him where to go to David's house. So he goes to David's house and he gets there and David's brothers are all there. His seven brothers and his dad, Jesse. And Saul goes up to anoint the second king. And he goes up. What does he have in his hand? Come on. The olive oil. All right. He goes up and he looks at the first brother, the oldest brother. And he goes, you're not the one that God has called or anointed to be the next king of Israel. Next. He goes to the next one. You're not the one that God has called to be the next king or the second king of Israel. Next. The next one comes up, and then the next one comes up, and the next one comes up. And he went through all the brothers, seven of them. And he goes, you got any more kids? Go to the Reed house. They got abundance. Okay? But no, they only had seven. And the dad, Jesse, speaks up and he says, you know, we got one more. It's David. He's out in the field, and the prophet says, go get him. So they bring David in, and here's what happens. Flip over to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. So David stood there among his brothers. Samuel took his what? Flask of olive oil, and he poured it and anointed David with the oil. Hey, wait a minute. Doesn't that sound familiar? Like, didn't he just do that with some other guy? Yes, he did. Okay. And the Spirit, listen to this. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. And then Samuel takes off. Okay. So write this down if you're taking notes. Three truths. We're going to see three truths about Saul and David. Three truths about Saul and David, and it's actually our big idea, but I'm not going to tell you all of it right now. It's our main idea that I want you to get so good today. Ready? Three truths. Number one, they were both called. Write that down. Number one, truth number one, they were called to it. What were they called to? To be king, all right? Both of them. Those are the similarities, all right? Okay, both Samuel and David had a calling on their life. Really, they had purpose on their life. And the purpose was really clear. You got oil on top of your head. And then the prophet of God spoke it out. Okay, so it was pretty clear. I would have said, oh yeah, I think I see that, okay? So they are called, but they're also gifted. They are called, but they're also gifted. Now, write this down. Gifting in the Bible is the means that God gives you, the means that God gives you to carry out the call on your life. Write that down. Gifting, because we're going to slam it later. Gifting is the means that God gives you so you can carry out the call that God gave you to do in your life. Praise God. You all got that? Okay, so both stories, we've got Saul, we got David, and they are called to it, and they're also gifted for it. Amen? They're gifted for it, okay? So that means they have what they need to be who God called them to be, because they're called to it, and they're gifted for it. Amen? So here we have Saul and David. Everybody say, called to it, gifted for it, and number three. This is true. Others could see it. Others could see it. Write that down. Others could see it. What do you mean others could see it? Well, duh, God could see it. Because he put it in there. And number two, the prophet could see it, right? The prophet, who was the prophet? The prophet Samuel could see it because he's the one that dumped the oil on him. Okay? And others could see it. And this is really what I need to say here. Listen. Okay. I'm jumping ahead. So others could see it. It says later on that Saul, when he got the oil dumped on him and Samuel spoke that he is the king of Israel, Saul went along his merry way. He actually had some directions when he left. And when he left, he's walking down the road. And again, the spirit came upon him powerfully that he began to prophesy. And people around him are like, whoa. Is that Saul? All right. So again, he was called to it. He was gifted for it. And people could see it because they stopped and they said, is that Saul prophesying? All right. Praise God. Now, let's move on to David. That's all about Saul. Okay. David. It said, and we read it, that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him that day on, and he was called to it, he was gifted to it, and others could see it. Well, Pastor D, give me an example. Thank you, I will. Later on, Saul's got some trouble going on, and he needs some help. And he goes to his servant, and he goes, I need some help. And his servant says, hey, I know this guy. I know this guy. He's a mighty warrior. He's a good musician. He's good looking. He's a good leader. Who was he talking about? David. That's right. Others could see it. Others could see he was called to it and he was gifted for it. All right. Amen. So let me talk about this gifting thing. So they were called to it. And by the way, I'm talking about you, in case you didn't figure out. This is about you. This is about me. So instead of saying they, how about you say, I am called to it. I am gifted for it. And others could see it. All righty. Let me tell you about seeing others. Years ago, my youngest one decided she wanted to go out for track in her senior year. It was a guy, I am sure. To this day, I was not. That's not why I went out. I know. What are you kidding me? So Cassie decided she'd go for track. And do you know what event she picked? Hurdles. So I remember the first time I went to a track meet. By the way, it looks like a glorified picnic. They're all doing just, it's just so fun. So I'm at this and I see her friend. And I was trying to remember her name. I don't know if it was Missy. I see Missy. Well, I see both of them running the hurdle event, okay? But I see Missy. And Missy has mile-long legs, and she just makes it look easy. She gracefully goes over these things. She's got the rhythm. She's got the legs. It was beautiful. And then there's Cassie. Cassie's 5'2". It wasn't pretty. Not like her friend Missy. But you got to know Cassie. She's just determined. You say no, she's going to do it. Okay? So she was just determined, but it wasn't pretty. And you know what I remember saying, and especially thinking now, Missy, it's a gift. She was gifted. She was gifted. Guys, a lot of times it's real easy to see other people's gifts, right? Now just get quiet and think about other people's, they've been called to it and gifted for it. And you can see it, right? Alrighty, so, gosh, think about Mother Teresa. Well, duh, can you see her gift? Gift of servant people. And we just celebrated Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, and I thought, he was gifted. What? He was gifted to rally people to make change. And I could say about 5 paragraphs, okay? So a lot of times it's real easy to see other people's gifting, okay? They're called to it and they're gifted, and it's other people I can see it. But how come we as believers, followers of Jesus Christ, born again, that whole shabam I just said, how come we have a hard time seeing the gift that God has put in our life? Everybody look at the floor. Okay. How come it's hard for us to see the gift, the call in our life? And I like what my friend says, the thumbprint of God. I heard that and I said, I'm stealing that. So how come we have a hard time seeing the thumbprint of God on our life, but I can see it on your life? How come I have a hard time looking in the mirror and seeing the gift of God in my life? How come? Well, I'm going to tell you. Ready? But let me tell you the problem. The problem when you can't see the gift of God in your life, you can't see the thumbprint of God in your life, it's usually 99.99% you're fixated on the gaps in your life. You're fixated on the gaps of your life. And the problem with that, if you stay so fixated on all the gaps in my life, you will not see and walk in the call and the gifting God's placed in your life. That's a problem. Yes, Pastor D, that's a problem. Okay, so the main idea is there's 3 truths, and the 3 truths that were true for Saul and David are true for you. Everybody say, I am gifted, I am called, and others can see it. Now, Jesus just didn't save us from sin. And listen, right there is good, great, amazing. But Jesus saved you also to do and be in life. He has called you and gifted you for this life on earth. Amen. Pastor D, you're really just making me happy today. Yeah, I haven't gotten to the ending. All right. And some of you are thinking, you know, I just settled for a job. And yeah, this calling thing. We're not talking about careers. We're talking about I'm called, and the purpose of my life is to walk out the things that God's already got going for me, planned out for me. Okay. So, so we are all what? Called to it, gifted for it, and others see it. Now, callings. Let me talk about callings. There are some similar callings for all of you. If you've asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, you all have some similar ones. You know, they're going to be the same. One of them, write this down. You are all called to follow Jesus. Duh, Pastor D. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, you're called to follow Pastor Jesus. Pastor Jesus, yeah. No, some days, like, don't. But I'm trying. Okay, we're called to follow Jesus. What does that mean? How about, walk like him? That's what I'm called to walk like him. I'm called to walk like him, all righty? Let me read. I lost one of my notes on this one. Okay. Follow Jesus, follow Jesus, follow Jesus. So if you had an encounter with God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and you made a decision to ask him into your life, this is what he said: get up and follow me. Another verse is, pick up your cross and follow me. So you all have a similar calling. Let's do the next one because, oh, praise God, the time is beautiful. The next one, ready? The next one, we all have this one. We all have this similar calling. Ready? Love God, love others. Amen. All right, open up to Matthew 27 or just write it down because I'm going to read them fast here. Matthew 27. Jesus is cornered by his people that just, they were beautiful. All right, he's cornered by these religious guys and they go, well, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Like, what's the most important commandment in the law of Moses? And they thought they were going to nail him. And this is what he says. Jesus replied, you must what? Love the Lord God, what? With your whole heart, with your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is equally important. Guess what that one is? Love your neighbor as yourself. So we are all called to follow him. We are all called to love God and love people. And there's no dancing around it. And there are some days I don't want to, but I, wait a minute, I am called to follow him and I will love God and love people. Amen. Last one. You're all called to make disciples. What? I'm a baby. I need people taking care of me. No, you're not. All right. You're all called to make disciples. It says Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go and make disciples in all the nations, okay? You are commanded to make disciples, and we'll talk more about that. So, we all have similar callings. Amen, amen. So you all know you have similar callings, and sometimes we can go, oh, I think I have a specific calling. I think I have a specific calling, all right? And maybe you see kids in the foster care system and you're like, man, God don't like that. I don't like that. So I'm going to open up my home, right, to show them what the love in a family is and to show them the love of the Father God and that he cares. Or maybe God is giving you a specific calling to let's say start a business because you just feel that you want employees to know affirmation and how cool they are and be an example who Jesus is. Or maybe your calling is to be a stay home parent and your calling is I will raise fully devoted kids for God. So those could be specifics, and there's a mile I could be here till next year, all right? But maybe you're here and you're like, I don't know a specific calling. I don't know what my specific calling is. Well, listen, I do know this much. God has called you, he's gifted you. And if he's called you, he's gifted you, he will make it clear to you, all right? He will make it clear to you. Everybody say, he'll make it clear to me. I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. I'm not going to binge on chocolate. Okay, so here's the truth. God has called you to it, and if he's called you to it, he's gifted you for it, and gifting means he has given you the gifts and the callings to walk it out. He's given you the gifts to walk it out. Turn over to Rope, and I'm going to give a proof. Romans chapter 12. God, gifting is the means to carry out the call. Gifting. The means to carry out the call. Listen what the Apostle Paul said to the church. And by the way, we are the church. He said, Romans chapter 12, verses 6 and 8. In his grace, God has given us what? God has given us what? Different gifts. I'm going to read that again. In his grace, God has given us, raise your hand, us is different gifts. Now, what I like about that is that we don't all have the same gift. Right? Different. But God has given us gifts. Amen. Alrighty. So he goes on. God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. I'm not going to preach on that. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership abilities, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Okay. So basically he's saying, if you are a follower of Jesus, you got it, go do it. Look at your neighbor and say, you got it, go do it. Look at the other guy, say, you got it, go do it. So as I prepare for a message, anybody I meet is going to hear it. It's like throw up. Okay. So I was talking to this girl. She does not live in the state. She doesn't attend the church. Okay, so you're not going, I wonder if I thought it's me. Is that okay? Alrighty. And I was telling her about the message. And she said, well, you know, what would you say to those of us who don't know our gifting? And I almost wanted to laugh at her face because I know them so well. But, you know, if they're not laughing, don't go laughing. Okay, it was serious. So I didn't. And I said, seriously? Are you kidding? No, I didn't say that. I said, think about all the people in your family church that you have a connection with. Think about how you got that connection. It was with that lady on the bus stop. It was, now this is, I'm talking to a lady, okay? And it was the ladies that sat on the bleachers, freezing their tushies because your kid was playing football, okay? And I said to her, think about all of those people that you were sharing your stories with one another, and God opened a door of opportunity in this friendship, and you said, hey, why don't you come with me to church? And I said, think about the first time that girl, and I knew a specific one, came to church, and that was the Sunday she met Jesus. And then I said, think about how they are now in this church home, and they have other believers in their life, and they're growing in God. And I said, you know what your gift is? Building these crazy, beautiful relationships. That's your gift. And then I said, and your other gift, because I know them really well, said, you know, you are that detailed gift. And she's like laughing, and she knew where I was going. I said, you are the one that when your family decides in 2020 that in 2021 you're going to go on a trip, you hit the internet, and you are researching everything, and every time you find something, you spit it out and print it out, and then the day comes that we are going on the trip, and you hand them a manual of 100 pages long, and you go, ta-da, I got it. And some of you are like, that would not be fun. But I know her husband. He works an intense, grueling job, and he loves his wife for that. And her gift makes people better. Amen? So I said to her, you are called to it, you are gifted for it, and I can see it, and so can other people. Amen. Praise God. Praise God, praise God. So, number three, others can see it. Now, real practical, if you can't see the call and the gifting of your life, I just want to encourage you, go ask somebody. Not just anybody, but somebody. Like, if you have a grow group, you're in a grow group, how about the discussion question for the century? Hey, Michelle and I are in a grow group. Hey, what do you see the gifting in my life? What do you see in my life? Talk about, let's have discussion, right? Or how about on the drive home? You ask your family and your kids, what do you see that God has got in me? And give me, now the spouse will know because you're sitting up here. Your kids were like, what do you mean gifting? You'll have to regurgitate all the information. But how about on the drive home, you go, what can you see in me? All right? And listen, your kids know. Feed them first so they're nice, okay? Praise God. How about you have this great discussion with close friends? Now, I've got some really dear close friends for a long, long time, and they can shoot me straight, and I value what they say. I got some other people, I'm not asking you that question, because depending if you ate, it's going to be ugly, all right? But if you gather some close friends and say, hey, at church we were talking about called to it and gifted for it. What do you see in my life? Okay, they're going to say, because guess what, guys? You got it. Tell your neighbor you got it. Praise God. You got the gifting in you to carry out the calling that God has placed on your life. Say that. I got the gifting in me to carry out the calling that God has placed in my life. So here's a $1 million kind of question, and you're not going to like me. I don't care. Here we go. What are you doing with your gifting, with your call? Write that down. Really, it's between you and God, okay? What are you doing with the gifting? What are you doing with the gifting? Because we have two guys that were similar, but this is where their big difference is. We have Saul and David, and they did it drastically different. The call and the gifting. And everybody could see it. Okay, so the next time we hear that Saul is mentioned in the Bible, this is after he's been anointed for king. Samuel, the prophet of God, goes ringing the bells and say, all of Israel, we need to gather together. All of Israel, come, we have to gather together because we are publicly going to pick the next king. All of Israel shows up. But guess what? Two people already know the answer to the question. Who are the two people that already know who the next king is besides you? Saul already knows who the next king is, and so does Samuel, because Samuel already anointed him, okay? But they don't already know that. So Samuel gathers all of Israel, and they're like, okay, first we're gonna they actually cast lots, which is a really interesting study, but I'm gonna give you a Cashman version here. We're gonna pick who the tribe is, and guess what tribe they pick? Saul's tribe. Now we're going to go pick the clan that the first king is going to come out. And guess what clan they pick? Saul's. Okay? And then we're going to pick the family that the first king is going to come out. And guess what they pick? Saul's. And then they pick the individual. And this is what happens. Turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 10. Told you we're going to be in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 10. So they've picked the tribe, the clan, the family, okay? Finally, Saul, son of Kish, was chosen from among them. Not really, but he was, okay? Finally, Saul, the son of Kish, was chosen from among them. But when they looked for him, he disappeared. So they said to the Lord, where is he? And the Lord said, he's hiding behind the baggage. Now, it's really kind of humorous because if you read on, it says Saul was a foot taller than all of the people in Israel. He's a big dude, okay? And it's kind of humorous. This big guy, what are you doing? And he's asking himself the question, God, I don't think I have what it takes. And how many times do we do that? God's called you, he's gifted you, and we hide behind baggage. Okay, baggage. What are we talking about baggage? How about baggage of your past? God, in case you don't remember 2019, it did not go good. I got this and that. And now you want me to step out in faith in the gift and the call for 2020? Don't think so. I'm going to hide in my baggage. Or how about God? Did you not remember that I got fired from my job and now you want me to step out and do what? I don't think so. So a lot of times what we will do is we'll hide behind our past, right? Hide behind our past. Okay, here's another one. I got another one, good one. Oh, yeah. Insecurities. God, I don't know enough. God, I haven't been a Christian long enough. God, there's no way I can step out into the gift and callings you have for me in 2020. And we hide really behind our security because we're really insecure. The bad way. Reverse. Anyway, I know what I'm talking about. How about this one? I hide behind the baggage of, God, what if I fail? God, what will they say about me? God, what will they say about you? Okay? Baggage. We hide behind our baggage. Here's another one. I see this a lot in believers. So sorry. Must be the other church. Okay? We hide behind being busy. We hide behind being busy. Like, you know, God, I know you delivered me of this addiction. I know you've called me to help this person, but God, you know what's going on at work. I'm like, they're super busy. Busy. Or God, you know, God, I know you've called me to help harvest the blessings. Hallelujah. Praise God. Or go, you know, pull this lady, this single mom into my reach. And then you go, but God, you know, my kids are really busy right now, which is, you know, we got this, this, and this, so I can't. And we hide behind the baggage. Here's another one. Ready? We hide behind comparison. Okay? If I was more like him, then I could do it. If I was more like Sherry, I would do it. Okay? And we hide behind that comparison. Ready? Now, here's the problem if you hide behind your baggage. If we are buried in our baggage, we won't see the call and the gifting that God has placed for us to do for 2020. Amen. Praise God. Now, I will tell you probably everything that I knew I was called to and gifted to, I hid behind baggage in the beginning. But I'm getting better. Okay. First one, you'll laugh. It is my wedding day. I am downstairs in that basement of the church getting dressed with the girls. And I am hiding. I am ready to run for it. I was going to be a runaway bride. No, seriously. I was trembling. And I said, but God, I can't do this. Well, I obviously stuck around for 33 years. Okay. Then the next one is I've had my first kid and I go, God, I don't know nothing about raising babies. I can't do this. I mean, I was a wreck. I didn't give the kid up. I had three more. Okay. Then this is the other one. God called me to be a teacher. God, I don't know enough. Then he called me to be a pastor. I go, God, I am not gifted to do this. There are guys out there that know Greek and they're even funny. And God, I can't even pronounce half of those names of the people in the Bible. You know when they do the begats, 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 I start with the first one and then the last one and say, go read the rest. Okay. I did try to hide in that baggage. Anybody ever hide behind baggage? It's not just me, okay? But this is the most fortunate thing that happened. Others, for every one of those, could see it. They could see I was called. They can see I was gifted. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. So listen, you are called, you are gifted, and others can see it. And if you are struggling to see it, surround yourself with people that love you, that will encourage you. I remember it's probably the first week I answered the call. Wasn't too sure about the gifting. And we had a guest speaker, a dear friend of mine, Kathy Fleming. And we sat in the parking lot. We went out to lunch afterwards, and we sat in the parking lot for hours. She would not let me out of the car. I had to pee. She wouldn't let me out of the car because she kept saying, I see this. I see this. I know you have this. And watch out for that. You got this, but you better be careful of that. You kind of get. It was really quite comical, and I tell her all the time. But listen, I was so thankful for the people that could see and would encourage. All right? So if you're struggling, go find people. Don't call pick on me, okay? Just pick on some other people too. All right. So we got these two guys. Where are we? All righty. We have these two guys, Saul and David, and one chooses to do this totally different. All right. So the next time, let's jump over to David. Next time David is mentioned, it's after he's anointed. Okay, so we just went through Saul, who was hiding, right? And then the next time, then we have David. And the next time he's mentioned, David is on the battle line. His dad, Jesse, says, hey, your brothers, you know those guys, they're all out there at the battle fighting the Philistines. I want you to take them dinner. So he goes out there to take them dinner and also find out what's going on. That wasn't gossip because his dad asked him to do it. So he goes there and he sees the Philistine army. And he sees the Israelites frozen. And he sees the great Goliath, right? He sees him and he is challenging the people. The soldiers and Saul, he's challenging them. Isn't there anybody that can fight me? Blah, 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 blah. And nobody responded. Nobody. Out of all these trained army guys, and then we have King Saul, nobody responded. And then turn over to Samuel 17. I'll tell you what happened. Because David did. The little shepherd boy responded. Right? And here he is, Samuel 17:26. David asked the soldiers nearby, what will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending his defiance against Israel? Who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God? All right? Now, before we saw Saul, who was called to a gift for it, everybody saw it. And you know what he was doing when this army thing's going on? He's hiding in his tent. Okay? And David didn't say, well, you know, I just don't think, because really Saul was saying, I don't think I have what it takes. But David jumps up and he says, God, I have what it takes. I have what it takes. Everybody say, I have what it takes. Okay. And can I tell you, when you feel like you don't have what it takes, what you're really doing is you are basing the outcome on you. Some of you, bing, over your head. When you say, I don't have what it takes, you are basing the outcome on you. But wait a minute, if you're a believer of the Most High God, if you've asked Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life, the King of glory, the one who has defeated Satan, and he has seated you up in the heavenlies, and every name is under his feet, and you are seated with him, guess what? The war was won. And David could see it. Who is this guy that's defying the armies of the living God? Okay, so guys, can you see it? Because you got it. You need to step out in it. All right, hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's just flip over here. All right. Praise God. Last excuse that we make. A lot of times we go, but God, that guy over there is just incredible. I mean, they are just incredible, that's the word, okay? They're spectacular. They're spectacular. And God's going, wait a minute. I gave you the gift. I, the spectacular one, has given gifted you, all right? Gifted you. Gifted you. I, the spectacular one, has gifted you so you will be significant. Okay, so don't confuse spectacular comparison with other people. And I have to work on that, okay? Because God Almighty has gifted you, called you, gifted you. And he sees it, and he's put great gifts. All right? And listen, if you will walk the gift out, your story will be spectacular. And I see a lot of you, and I've watched you walk in significant things. And I watch your story, and you are just spectacular. So, let's stand up and pray. Praise the Lord, because I'm going to just flip over here. Father, we just thank you. We thank you so much that you have called us, you have gifted us, and others can see it. And Father, for all of us here that are struggling in seeing, I thank you, Holy Spirit. We say, we ask, we declare, you open their eyes to see the significant gift you've placed in them. And I thank you, Father, that they see it, they stir themselves up in it, and they walk in it, and they have a spectacular story to tell. In Jesus' name, amen. I could go on for 5 more pages. I just thought I had so much fun, but I think I want you to love me, and I want you to talk about me today. My ears should be just burning at lunchtime. And ask the person next to you, what gifting do you see in me? Amen? Okay? You guys are blessed coming in, blessed going out, blessed every way. Have a wonderful Sunday. Sorry, Michelle. I was like looking at what time it was. Thank you. I know.